Hey, it's Jamie Moore here. You're very welcome to the latest edition of the Off the Ball League of Ireland podcast. We're very happy to welcome a League of Ireland manager to the studio, and he's manager of Bray Wanderers, currently doing really well in the First Division, Mr. Gary Cronin. How are you?
Not bad, Jamie. How are you?
Great stuff. Now, Gary, you had a dramatic evening on Monday. Your League Cup game against Shamrock Rovers went all the way to a shootout, and you managed to win it in the end. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it was a late night, and it was a fantastic win for us in the end. You know, it would have been devastating to go all the way to penalties and not get through on the right end. Obviously, it was tough on Rovers, but it was a fantastic game. I thought it was a great game, obviously, for the neutral to watch, even though it was a nil all. There was a lot of chances in the game, and I think we might have deserved to be in one or two up at half time. And as the game went, you know, we stayed in it. That was our game plan, you know, to try and stop Rovers playing through the centre of us, and we done that quite well. And the lads were fantastic and made a few changes, and the lads that come in carried out their jobs very well. And I think overall, it was a great night for us, you know.
How do you handle when it goes to penalties? Do you ask the players who want a penalty? Do you have your list done out, and do you bring a sub on last minute who might be a good penalty taker?
Well, funny you should ask that. It was something happened the other night that's never happened to me before in relation to penalties. The fourth official came over to us and asked us to take player off. And as it turned out, Rovers were down to 10 men for the last 5 minutes of extra time.
Okay.
And I was, why do we need to take a player off? And that's the rule. So we had to have 10 players, which makes sense, even numbers. So we had to substitute Huey for the penalties. Well, he volunteered, obviously. But look, throughout the whole, I asked the players. I want the players who were confident at the time. And generally, you know, you get no surprises with that, you know. And the lads stepped up. To be fair, they were excellent penalties, 4-0-4. And we didn't have to go to our fifth penalty, which is fantastic.
So what happens if someone puts a hand up and goes, I want to take a penalty gaffer, and you think he's not going to be a good penalty taker? Do you say, well, I actually don't think you should take one? But then if it goes to sudden death and he has to take one, he knows you have no confidence.
Yeah, well, look, if we don't say it to him, we look, if there's an influx and there's seven and only five takers, I'll just pick them, like, you know. And we had it before with Longford, actually, in a Finn Harps game with the FAI Cup replay up there. And I remember Martin Deedy said to me on the left full, that he was from Cove, and picking between two players, and he said, well, pick me because I'm going to score. And there was a silence for 5 seconds. He went, okay, and he put it in the top corner in the winning penalty. So you go with the confident players, I think, you know, and that's the way it works. As long as they hit the target, we have a chance. But what I will say to you as well, the goalkeeper, our goalkeeper Gabby Savo, was excellent on the night, and he pulled up a great save from Aaron Green. Obviously Brandon Cavan was unlucky with his penalty, but he said to us in the shootout, lads, if you score, I'll save one, and he did, you know. It's the confidence part.
Yeah, how have you found the season overall so far? Obviously, you took over kind of midway through last year and things didn't go well in the Premier. You've managed now to sign your own squad, start the season well, I think, with 3 wins. There's been a little bit of mixed form since, but you're up towards the top, and you can probably really see that it's your team now.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that taking over last year when we spoke to Niall that, you know, it was probably inevitable. Obviously, we try and win games and so on, but we had an idea where we were going to go. And when you build your own team, that's when you're judged, you know. And worked hard to try and get the players in, obviously tried to get some other players in, and it's been fantastic for me so far. But there's a lot of challenge ahead, you know. Up until now, we started really well and we had 4 wins. We had the League Cup win also over Wexford and the three league games, and, you know, we're tight at the back, which is great, but we had 2 back-to-back defeats then, brought us right down to earth, and that's what the game does. And I think it's going to be a really competitive league, as you see how the results have gone. And I've been to watch Longford a couple of times, and you look at them and they're unbeaten and they're not conceding many. So there's a lot of teams there that will fancy as well. Cavan Teely have had a great run since we beat them at the start of the season, so it's going to be competitive.
Yeah, and I suppose the fact that you lost those back-to-back games against Athlone and Wexford, who were the two whipping boys last year. Wexford were this season until they beat you guys, and Athlone, as we've spoken about on this podcast before, are much improved. But that probably shows where the league is, that there's no team in it that you're, well, like, I thought you were going to go against Wexford and win well, and you just didn't. Like,
yeah, it just didn't happen. And to be fair, what I will say, listen, I spoke to Pino O'Sullivan afterwards, and obviously they're delighted, you know. That's what the game does. But, you know, it wasn't from a complacency point of view. From our point, I have to say that it wasn't from an effort point of view. Really, we just didn't take our chances. And it would have been fair to say, you know, at half time, if we were 3 up, it would have been a fair reflection. And that's take nothing away from Wexford. They done really well on the night. I believe that was the best they played. But from our point of view, we didn't take our chances, and we'd only ourselves to blame on that. And we were anxious then to try and get that goal. But what I will say then, you're always leaving yourself open to something like, I think it's Rob Nugent.
Unbelievable goal.
Hit a great strike. And it was unstoppable. And you're analysing it afterwards, you're looking and going, who can I look at to see who could have done something better or didn't do their jobs? And there was nobody. It was just an unbelievable strike. And unfortunately, that gave them the confidence, and The second goal was a free goal, but the way the incident happened, but it was a great finish for Jack Doherty, and we just had to take it on the chin, unfortunately, and move on.
Yeah, we spoke last week on this podcast to Declan Ryan from Instat, the head of Instat in the UK and Ireland, about the Premier Division clubs using the tool to watch the videos after the matches and all that sort of stuff. And I know all the clubs in the First Division don't have access to that, and you mentioned, you know, looking back on your own games and doing some analysis.
Yeah.
How in-depth do you go, and what tools do you have as the Bray manager in terms of video and stats and stuff to help your group?
Well, it's a tool that's really improved the game, I think, and it really improves player development, because a lot of the times I remember being a player, it's, you remember this incident, you remember that, and really the picture changes, you know, in your head. So it's an essential tool. Basically, I have the games recorded by a video analyst, and, you know, my own point of view, obviously, starting off and having my own team, I like to analyse it myself. You know, I think most managers would. You can have the main events clipped, obviously, by someone else, but you need to see what you're looking for and what you're trying to put on the training ground as they're coming out on match day, and you need to have a look at that yourself. So you need to listen as soon as possible, look through the games, and we use it till well, because it's great for me to be able to show the lads what we've done really well and where we need to improve on, and that's what the tool is for.
Yeah, and they say League of Ireland managers are obsessed with football, and I'm sure you are. So you've played on a Friday, you've won, you've drawn, or you've lost. How soon are you watching that video? Like, I know some managers, if they've had an away game, straight away on the bus,
yeah,
they're with the coaching staff, they're looking at the key incidents so they can see it from a height and see if their original opinion on the sideline is actually the case.
It's funny you should say that, because when I started off at the season, I was on to the chairman about getting access to games immediately after the game and when they're available, you know. So I was thinking, when we come back from an away game, if I have a 4G iPad where I can watch it and so on, that's how eager you are to see what's gone wrong or what's gone well, you know. But look, as soon as it's available, we're into it. It's not only myself, it's coaching staff, my two assistants with James Keddie and Dennis Hyland. We're onto it straight away because we want to improve. And that's, as you say, football managers are mad. And when things don't go right, you want to have a look at it. When they go well, you want to have a look at it. But, you know, it's brutal when you get beaten for the feeling the next day. But all you can do is watch over. It's hard to watch over. It was difficult for me to watch over the Wexford game because I knew obviously we were beaten, and it was hard to watch. But you have to do it to improve.
Yeah, and a warning for all the League of Ireland men out there who operate the cameras. I noticed something this week online, Gary, called a VO camera.
Yeah.
It costs €1,700, and it's basically, it goes up on a stick itself, it follows the ball itself, and it creates clips if the ball goes into the goal or near the goal and stuff. So maybe your camera might have to watch us back, although they are quite expensive. But as you said, the analysis side of things is growing and growing and growing, and for them to have a camera that can actually video the game without a person is amazing. Like.
Yeah, I've seen them in action. We've had them at our training ground, actually, and they are just, for me, I was looking at there's improvements to be made in relation to certain aspects of it, like, you know, but that's where it's going. You know, I know Jared doing well in the head analyst for Mick McCarthy and the Ireland team, and I've done a pro licence with Jared, so I've gone through a lot of analysis with him, and what's coming down the track is unreal. It really is, and you could be right. Yeah. There might be a need for a person to be behind a camera anymore. You never know.
Yeah, I was saying last week I want a drone for the League of Ireland, and also those spider cams that you see in the Champions League that come right down to the fella taking the free kick. It would be amazing to see that in the league.
Yeah.
It could be a little bit of a wishful
thinking.
Just speaking of that, Gary, like being a League of Ireland manager, whether it be First Division or Premier, and I know you've worked as an assistant for a long time as well, what is your week like as a League of Ireland manager? Because we mentioned the word obsession, and it really is. It's all you think about, millions of phone calls, sessions, games, and everything in between, really.
That's what it is. It's all, I mean, for me, and I'd say a lot of the coaches and managers as well, it's all about preparation, you know. You have to be ready for the next session, the next game, and so on. But you're constantly, as a manager now, it's different. Funny, I had a chat with Tony Cousins there during the week, and in relation to the difference between the assistant and the manager. And there was pressure on it. When I was his assistant for 7 years, I did feel pressure as a coach to perform and to put on the right sessions and so on. But ultimately, the overall responsibility falls on the manager's shoulders. And now I have that feeling, you know. You could imagine the feeling I had after back-to-back defeats with Athlone and Wexford. It was tough, and I sort of knew how the likes of Tony felt after defeats, you know. But look, you just have to get back on the horse when that happens, and you have to prepare again. You're back training. The main thing is you keep doing the right things and the things you believe in. And for me, it's players now, these days, they have to look after themselves. It's not just the manager and the staff that have to prepare. It's the players have to prepare their bodies properly. Food, sleep, rest, recovery. Obviously the physical element of the game, the mental element of the game. And there's a lot that comes into it. And we've gone through a lot of that in our pre-season. There's a lot of detail that goes in to trying to put an 11 out on a Friday. And it's not easy.
Yeah, and we hear this debate all the time about League of Ireland part-time, League of Ireland full-time, teams that train in the daytime, teams that train in the evening time. And like, look at, you know, some of the clubs train as much as in the evening time as the ones in the morning, but they work and they have jobs and stuff. So how does your you know, the week work for the players in terms of how often you have them in relation to getting ready for a Friday?
Yeah, we train we train in the evenings, you know, and we try to get as many contact sessions as we can while getting the balance right of rest and recovery, you know. I mean, you look at this week in the part-time, so-called part-time squad, but, you know, we're really professional the way we think about the game. You look at Friday, Monday, and Monday's extra time against Shamrock Rovers team, and then we go again, a big game against on Friday against Shells. That's 3 games in 7 days. So in between, it's like, you've done a few club visits before over the UK, and I remember going back to Middlesbrough when Tony Mowbray was the manager and Mark Beanis was assistant. And their whole week just revolved around tactical play and recovery, because the Championship had
an unbelievable
amount of games. They always had a Tuesday or Wednesday game. And when you have 3 games a week, you know, you look at the Premier schedules at the start of the season, when there's 3 games in a week, there's very, very, very little physical element of training taking part, you know.
Yeah, and you mentioned there going back to Middlesbrough, and you spent some time there as a kid, and you've played for a number of clubs here in the League of Ireland, for Pats, for Longford, obviously as well for Bray Wanderers. Working with those managers and also as an assistant, what type of things did you pick from all of your experiences as a footballer and as an assistant and a coach to shape you, the manager?
That's could be a lot of things on that. Like, you know, you just have to draw on your experiences, I suppose. Like, you know, but I was lucky when I went into the coaching side of things. Like, you know, you draw on your experiences as a player. It's different as a coach and a manager. But I was very lucky to have 7 years with the one manager. Because it gave me a bit of consistency, it let me improve as it was at Longford Town, obviously under Tony Cousins, and it allowed me improve as a coach. And we had a great relationship, which I thought was, you know, it's essential, you know, on your management team to have a good relationship. And I done all my coaching badges throughout Longford Town, you know, right up to the pro license. And I was lucky because if Tony, let's say, had got the sack or he was only there for a year, you know, generally the assistant may not be there. And I wasn't able to get that flow and that experience under my belt, you know. So, I mean, to have that was unbelievable. And I suppose that's one of the main reasons why I am where I am today, you know.
Yeah, and then you've also just recently finished the UEFA Pro licence through the FAI as well. And, you know, you go on lots of club visits, and there's also lots of guest speakers in from different backgrounds in different areas of football as well. Again, in what ways did the people you met and saw on that course and the different club visits, like even on our UEFA Youth Elite A licence, we went over to Holland and we got to see PSV Eindhoven Academy and how they work and how they train and stuff, and you're you know, picking up little bits of nuggets of info like all the time, and I'm sure the pro licence is a step even more up.
How envious do we be when we see those setups? It's unreal, isn't it?
Correct. I went over to PSV, right, and they have football tennis pitches built, marked, made out of Astro, marked with different heights of nets and different lengths of courts, that the kids, when they come in the morning, they go straight out and just play football tennis for half an hour. It's like unbelievable.
Just let me over here, it's like, isn't it? Yeah. We went on the pro license, we went over to visit a couple of UK clubs. We were at Bristol Rovers, and that was sort of a lower leagues, and to see how they work and how they operate within their resources. And then we went to Swansea when Paul Clement was the manager. He was a brilliant guest speaker. And, you know, he could tell his qualities as a coach. It was interesting to hear his experiences throughout Europe when he was the coach at PSG. He could coach in English everywhere, but he had to coach in French. And that was a big challenge for him when he was in PSG. You know, he had to do all his translations the night before. It's easy to go over to all the top clubs in Europe, but you have to relate it back to what you do here in Ireland, you know. So I suppose the Bristol Rovers trip was a really good one for us. And we actually went to Newport County, where Paul Gamble plays as well. Yeah. And they're sort of nearer to our level that we have to deal with in League of Ireland. I know with Bray anyway. But you can only aspire to get to where the other clubs are. But they're great to see and see how they work, because a lot of the basics are the same, you know. But look, Camille, there was, when I'd done the pro licence, you know, there was courses, there was assignments, there was a lot of stuff, as you well know, doing your Elite A, Jamie, but it's really the people that you learn off, you know, and the quality of colleagues that were there was excellent, you know, and some of the guest speakers were excellent as well. And Jim McGuinness was one who was really stood out for me when he came in, obviously doing so well in the Gaelic field, and he was over at Celtic at the time. He's on the current UEFA Pro licence now at the moment. He has a burning ambition in football. I can see that in him. But some of the stuff that he went through and how he motivates and inspires players, I really took a lot from that. And it was good to see. Like, you know, you have to get out of your own bubble and your own comfort zone, thinking that you know everything yourself. You don't. There's a lot to be learned from other people.
Yeah, I think Jim was actually on Off the Ball recently on Skype from America and just talking about exactly what you've spoken about there and the different aspects of what he wants to do as well. So you've worked with all these managers as a player and as an assistant. You've been on the pro licence and the A licence and you've heard from all these guest speakers. You've done all these club visits. How do you then bring the bits that you like to Bray? And we've spoken about the difference between Swansea and Bristol, for example. Yeah. Bristol might be a lot more applicable to a Bray than a Swansea would be, because if we're honest, Bray or any League of Ireland club is never going to reach the standard of what Swansea would have
because
of the money. So you have to try and pick the bits that you think will help a Bray in the first division.
Yeah. Well, the first step for me is you got to work within your resources. You know, you have obviously whatever budget that your chairman sets out, and then it has to be realistic then. And you have to, from a playing and a football point of view, you sort of build your squad around that and what type of players that you want. So for me, when you're looking at it, is you have to start from the bottom. What do you have resources wise? How can you fit players in around that from a playing point of view? And it's all well and good having a preferred style of play and what you want to do, but you have to get that sort of quality player in, you know. So for me, it wasn't really down to the talent. It was down to the type of player that, when things aren't going well for us, that they're going to dig deep and stay together as a group, and they have the right values in that respect, you know. And I'm trying to build an actual squad there rather than a team of individuals, and I think that's essential, you know. The other thing for me is when you go in, you have to have your staff right and your management team right. If that's not right, it's not going to work from a football point of view. So you know, that stuff was important to me. But when I went into Bray, it was a little bit different in the sense that it wasn't like, you know, yeah, gun to your head, you have to, you know, get us promoted and win football match. Of course, that's what we want to do, you know, but there was a whole culture change that needed to happen at Bray. I think I don't need to go through what went there, went on previous. There was an atmosphere change, a little bit of an identity change, and there was fans that haven't been at the club for the last 3 or 4 years. They needed to come back, we wanted them back, and I think from that point of view, that's been really successful. You know, there's a lot of off the pitch stuff going on down at Bray, and that's credit to obviously the chairman and the people that run the club, the volunteers that are in the club as well. I think it's been unreal, and if you were down in Rovers there the other night, the feel good factor is back, and the atmosphere around the ground is absolutely fantastic, and obviously my job is to put a decent show on the pitch.
Yeah, and you've spoken as well about, you know, how you signed your squad and the type of players that you signed and them fitting into your style. How in-depth you go into the person that you're signing and if he's the right person. Like, we spoke to yourself and Paul Keegan the day of the launch in the Aviva, and like, I'm sure he's been a massive person for you, not just as a player, but as a leader and almost like a coach on the pitch, because it is a young squad. You've got the likes of him and, you know, Gabriel Sava, Huey Douglas and a couple of other senior ones, but lots of younger ones. Mm. So I'm sure you had to try and select the characters that you wanted. Yes, he's a good footballer, but is he going to be able to fit into the way I want my players to behave and stuff like that?
Well, that's it. Like, you know, you have to have your standards within the group and so on. But what I found from last year, it was difficult last year. There were some really good characters last year when I took over. But it wasn't my squad, you know.
Yeah.
And some of the personalities weren't the type of personalities that I would have wanted to have in the group, you know. And so I needed to change that. And to do that, I realised it was a great learning experience for me last year. I couldn't do it on my own, you know. You can't do it as, and you know, you need players within to be behind you as the manager, and obviously influencing the younger players that are in the group. And listen, I fought tooth and nail obviously to sign Paul Keegan. There would have been five or six clubs wanted to sign Paul. So he was massive for me, and to get Gabby Sava with his experience up in Dundalk was great. But you have Gabby and Paul, and Huey Douglas obviously has a few years' experience under his belt. He was only 25.
Yeah.
And he seems like he's around for 10 years, like, you know. But those three lads are the experienced lads that are in the group. And I don't know if you've seen, you know, the tweet that Dan put up last week, that, you know, 23 and below is the rest of the squad, age-wise, you know, so there's massive potential in our group. But we have to keep them. When things are going well, we have to keep their feet on the ground. When things are going against us, we have to make sure that their heads are up and we just move on to the next challenge, you know. And, you know, the group have a lot to offer, and they've done really well so far for me.
And this sounds like a strange thing to say, almost like a contradiction, but probably getting relegated has seen the club reborn. And I know you coming in and Oilers will coming in and, you know, other things too as well, but just people want to come and watch a team that's winning and that has a chance to compete, and that has been the case, to go down and hopefully bounce back this year, next year or whenever it might be.
Yeah, I think sometimes taking a step backwards to go too forward is what's needed, you know. And it was probably pretty inevitable by halfway during last season what was going to happen with Bray Wanderers. And I had a good long chat with Tommy Barrett a couple of times since we played Limerick, and it was probably the best thing to happen to Limerick as well, like, you know, to sort of go back and let's rebuild and build something again, you know, because you had to go from scratch. But look, come here, that didn't mean, Jamie, that come the end of the season when the relegation was confirmed, that it didn't hurt the players that were in the group. Mm-hmm. Even me being part of it for the 9 games, it's not a nice feeling, you know. There's a lot of doom and gloom, heads are down. But look, come here, I think overall it was the best thing for the club to happen. Listen, to go down, let's start afresh, let's make the change we need to make and look forward.
So league table, Bray Wanderers, 6 games played, 12 points, top of the table. Shelburne, Friday's opposition, are in 6th, but they're only 3 points behind on 9 points after 6 games as well. And you face them this Friday, and there's so many games in this league with yourselves, Longford, Drogheda, Bray, of course, Shells, and others where you're going. God, these are big games.
Yeah, well, look, come here, listen, after, like we said, we mentioned earlier, after Athlone and Wexford, for us, every game is a big game. The league game is priority for most people, like, you know what I mean? But look, come here, you mentioned a couple of sides there. Our next few run of games, Shells, Longford, Drogheda, and then we're back at Cabinteely, and Cabinteely are flying as well. Yeah. And you look at Limerick, since we played them at the start, they're back up in the top few spots as well. You won't see it, Jamie, until it gets to the halfway point of the league, what teams are starting to break away, and hopefully we're in the running to do that, you know. But look, the Shells game on Friday is just our priority and our next focus, and hopefully if we turn up, we can get something out again.
Yes, Gary mentioned Longford and Drogheda in the next 2 games as well, and you know, they're important ones. But I suppose, with the way things have started, there just has to be a belief among the group and among you and the other stuff that's going on with the club, that you can try to continue the positive stuff, win the league, great, but 100% try and make those playoffs and you know, have the club in a position where you're competing right towards the end, which improves the crowds and everything else around it. Would be great to, you know, to keep that run going as such.
That's our aim, you know. You just look to the next game and try to keep it going, Jamie. But look, at the start of it, it's not the pressure of you must win the league. But as players and as football people, and you've been in coaching as well, anytime you go to play a game of football, you want to win it, you know. So we put ourselves under that type of pressure to try and win a game of football, and ultimately means that we want to try and win the league, you know. But it's going to be a massive challenge. Longford will have the same thoughts. Shells will have the same thoughts. They'll put it on together, I'm sure. Cabinteely are sneaking under the radar, and like I said, Tommy's back up there. But it's early doors. Anyone can put a run together of 6 wins and be right up there. That's how tight that league will be. So yeah, we'll have our we'll have our own ambitions and so on. But you're right, you know, if it's not the league, you know, you want to be making the playoffs.
Great stuff. That's the Bray manager, Gary Cronin. Gary, thanks for coming in.
Brilliant.
Really interesting stuff. Best of luck on Friday. Enjoy the video analysis, and we'll speak to you soon.
Oh, I can't wait to get to it. Thanks, Jamie. Cheers.